Hello and welcome to a very special episode of Growth Masterminds, because this isn't really Growth Masterminds. Actually, I guessed it on another person's podcast and they're sharing it to here at Growth Masterminds. So I was chatting with Lena Dalchuk. She has the app Growth Talks for Split Metrics. It's a great podcast. You should check it out. And she had me on to talk about Singular's ROI Index, which we recently released and which basically shows you the best ad networks on the planet and lots of different geos and verticals and really cool stuff. We talked about all that stuff and Lena graciously allowed me to share it to you as well. Enjoy.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome to the latest episode of App Growth Talks, series of interviews with experts on user acquisition, mobile marketing, and of course, app growth. And I'm thrilled to introduce my guest for today. It's John Gauthier, who is a well-known thought leader in the mobile industry, and, you know, I would even say even beyond. So John is an entrepreneur, founder, journalist, analyst, writer, and it's not even the end of the list. Give me a minute. John has written for such really cool, biggest media like Forbes, Huffington Post, VentureBeat, and some others. And I know that John is writing a book. Spoiler. And also, he's hosting some meaningful podcasts for example, Growth Masterminds, Tech First. And that's not it even now. John is also VP of Insights at Singular. So, John, hello and welcome. And it's a great honor. Thank you so much for joining me for App Growth Talks today.
Hey, it's a real pleasure. Looking forward to our chat.
So let's start then. First of all, I wanted to ask you about your really rich, really cool professional background, your expertise. You successfully worked with both web and mobile, but now you are mostly actively engaged in mobile apps business. So my question is simple as that. Why have you focused on this, on the mobile industry?
Well, it's a total accident, actually. Pretty interesting. I mean, my background is pretty varied, lots of different things. I guess that's total professional ADHD or something like that. I was a full-time journalist. I started wanting to build things after having built apps and websites before being a full-time journalist. I built a research division for VentureBeat, VB Insights. It was focused on MarTech because that was kind of during this sort of great pre-Cambrian expansion of the early 2010s when you saw these massive charts that it was 500 companies, then it was 1,000, then it was 2,000, then it was 4,000. And there was just this massive expansion in MarTech and AdTech. Well, I left to start my own company. I started consulting with Toon, which was the first MMP way back in the day. Moved to Singular a few years after. They're my anchor client. I have some other clients as well. Still do a bunch of consulting for a bunch of clients. And I still write at Forbes because I can't not write. So that's kind of a summary of where how I got into ad tech and specifically mobile ad tech.
Thank you so much for sharing. Yeah, I think pretty much everyone reads Forbes. So I can totally understand you. And I mentioned that you are VP of Insights at Singular, and today I wanted to discuss the report that was recently released. It's ROI Index report. And before we start and move on to some details, findings of this report, I wanted to ask you to provide like a very short coverage for those who probably don't know what does it cover.
Yeah, Singular's ROI Index is an attempt to find the best mobile ad networks. It's based on Singular's view of the ad tech ecosystem. So we're talking tens of billions of dollars. We're talking billions and billions of clicks, trillions of impressions. It's large. It's not 100%, right? So you're always going to have certain lenses through which you see ad tech and mobile, but it's pretty good. The goal is to give mobile marketers just a few clues about some networks that maybe they should check out and to highlight some systemic changes in the ecosystem over time.
Yeah, I read the report myself, and it covers like the leading ad networks, which are like run most spend, that bring in most conversions, and can eventually bring the highest ROAS. So let's move on to that. Top ad networks in terms of SKAN performance and ROI on iOS include Google Ads, AppLovin, and Iron Source, which, by the way, was pretty much recently acquired by Unity. The latter one also broke into the top five. So could you please comment on that? What do you think?
Yeah, I kind of found what I sort of dubbed the Golden Six. And the Golden Six are sort of the top ad networks that hit every single category in the ROI index, where we look at different verticals, we look at different geos, we look at obviously the major platforms, that sort of stuff. And the Golden Six hit them all, right? And so, of course, you've got Google and you've got Meta. It's kind of a given. They're massive, they're global, they're going to hit everything. We had Moloco, which was a total shock, hit every single category. We'll talk about that later, I think. We had TikTok in there. It's a new giant. It's just coming into its own. Obviously, massive global scale and lots of issues. I mean, banned in India, I guess that was about a year ago now. Lots of talk in the US now, just recently accelerating, that it'll need to be sold or something like that to still be available there. But huge, massive, building its ad tech tools, its advertiser tools, and coming into its own. But you asked specifically about Iron Source and Unity and with along with AppLovin made it into this Golden Six as well. You know, Iron Source is super interesting. If you look at it, it's a whole platform, right? It's got user acquisition, it's got monetization, level pay, mediation. It's got Supersonic, which is app publishing, owned inventory. So a mini walled garden kind of thing. All the inventory that they have internally, which gives them tremendous insight on all different sides of the acquisition and monetization publishing kind of space. So it's really, really interesting. Unity, of course, bought them. You mentioned that. It's got to be something like a year ago now. They had an ads product. They started using Iron Source as a mediation platform. You've also got Aura Iron Source, which is an on-device sort of content ads monetization play for telcos. It's sort of similar to parts of what Amobee does for telcos called Glance. There's even more opportunity here. If they can unlock some kind of connection between Unity as a development platform for 50% of the planet's games and Iron Source as this massive monetization publishing marketing platform, that's hard to do, of course. There's not a clear path to making that happen. And Unity didn't do itself any favors with its sort of pricing shock that it had right in 2023. But if they could pull off something there, they could do something pretty interesting, I think.
Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts and even analytics. And you mentioned TikTok. I think for now, it's no more a platform for Gen Z, how it was like felt just recently. For now, it's a really, really promising platform. So thank you so much, John. And now I wanted to discuss Apple to Chats. It's not directly about SKAN scan, since it uses its own API. It's called Ad Services. But nevertheless, we cannot disregard it, since this is a huge user acquisition platform for now. So, and I know it's covered in the report as well. So could you please share singular data on how this channel performed over the year? What's notable about that?
Apple Search Ads is a top three ad network on the planet for mobile user acquisition. That's pretty amazing considering it's only on iOS. Android is what? 70% of global market share, right? So that's pretty impressive. There's a lot that's quite impressive there as well. They increased share of spend for singular clients by 18% last year. So that's pretty impressive. 19% more singular clients added ASA over the past year as well. There are some interesting things in the data, though, that aren't super positive. There was a fairly large drop over the last few months. It's probably a blip, but it's really hard to say. And it is interesting, you mentioned Apple Search Ads doesn't use SKAN, uses Ad Services Attribution API. That's controversial. Apple's not exactly eating its own dog food there and not playing by the same rules. And of course, Apple has a position, we're first party, it's first party data, it's different. That's very, very true. On the other hand, as a leader in the mobile space, you can see the argument that ASA should use SKAN as well.
Yeah, I don't have my opinion on that, but yes, it's a disputable question. And by the way, just recently, I think last week on March either 6 or 7, Apple added much more data points to their own API for Apple Search Ads. They like enriched their reports, added data on conversions, downloads, and much more about like even user experience, I guess. So I think you have definitely heard of that. And what do you think?
I think it's huge. I think it's important. Look, data is scarce in the privacy era, right? You've got to find all the privacy safe data you can, and you've got to use all the privacy safe data you can. I think that's very valuable. There's insights you can derive from there that are not the same as what you could get with IDFA or what you get with GIDs still to this day, but they're important, they're relevant. Interestingly, Singular is doing something with similar data like that. And you're going to hear some announcements about that in the future.
Can't but agree with you, John. Thank you. And getting back to the report, you mentioned like some of the top six greatest ad networks, like in terms of the report. But personally, I noticed that Google Ads tops the list for almost all regions in terms of geography and for both gaming and non-gaming categories. So sorry for silly question, but is it in or it's just not that simple as it may seem?
The answer is yes to both those questions, whether it's king or whether it's not that simple. Google is king. It's the largest. It's global. It's everywhere. It has inventory and everything. On the other hand, it doesn't always have the best ROI, and it can take significant scale in terms of dollars to train UAC or universal app campaigns. Doesn't reveal all insights, although more than you would think. There's actually more insights that you can get in terms of your ad creative, even when UAC is sort of composing those in real time for different campaigns and testing. There's some insights that you can get and that are available in the Singular dashboard as well. So it's huge. It's massive. It's incredible. It is king, but there's other options and there are other good places to invest your marketing dollars as well.
Like, for example, Moloco that you have already mentioned. Like, it's called the breakthrough of the year in the report. And by the way, they are also our partners, just like Singular. So could you please share how has it happened? What do you think? How Moloco got there?
You will have to ask them how they made that happen, but I can share what I can see from the outside. I mean, the first thing is like, you know, what the heck? Moloco is comparatively tiny to obviously a Google or a Meta or even an ironSource or an AppLovin. So it's a shocker to see that it hit every single regional, vertical, and OS category in the ROI index. That's very impressive. It doesn't have some of the advantages that its competitors have. It's not a walled garden like Meta. It's not a massive search engine like Google. It's not a big viral hit like TikTok that just sucks up all this masses of user time. It's not a massive conglomerate like an AppLovin or an ironSource. In a sense, it could provide some hope to other ad networks because in a way, it's kind of an old school ad network. It's hitting the open internet. It's a DSP out there looking for good supply. And so, you know, others might be able to do that too. I talked to a VP at Moloco on Growth Masterminds, a podcast that I host for Singular. His name is Francesco Renzo. That was late in 2023. They really focus on AI. They think AI is their core differentiator. Clearly, they've done a very good job.
100%. And it's kind of paradox, you know, but all of us want to be Moloco. in this sense, you know. So thank you so much. And yeah, you also mentioned AI. I have a question for you about that, but that would be a little bit late. But for now, again, about the report, Reddit, this really well-known platform is back to their ROI index. And I wanted to ask, what do you think? Is it even effective to run ads on such a kind of specific platform, you know? For me, it looks like very native, very like natural, in the spirit of Reddit ads might work there. What do you think about that?
I think you're 100% correct. And it's really interesting. I recently did a blog post for Singular on Reddit because they're IPOing. And that means they have to release a massive amount of information. So I think I found 17 different bits and pieces in there that are relevant for marketers and growth marketers to learn about their future plans. So, but in terms of what we're seeing right now, I think it is an interesting platform. It sucks up a huge amount of time. People who are on it and have been there for some time spend hours there daily, but it does need a very Reddit approach. It's not just an ad network. It's not a platform like Facebook. It's very differentiated in different subreddits. I've seen it work very well, and you're right, kind of a native approach and kind of not heavy sale approach. You know, the opposite of what you'd see on network television, let's say, the opposite of that marketing approach, more of a backhanded, hey, my boss told me to make a marketing campaign, so this is what I came up with. You know, kind of a, you know, just a transparent approach, right? But done right, done in the right subreddits, I've seen it work very well. I've also seen it fail massively. Now, Reddit's not a must-have at this point. It might grow into one, but I think it's a very interesting platform for specific apps that align with active subreddits. I think that you can, if you're passionate about something, whether that's, let's say that's hiking. I recently interviewed AllTrails CEO about how they became the app of the year in 2023. If you're passionate about that, there's subreddits about that. You can create content that feels normal, natural, and a part of that ecosystem. I think that's huge. One of the insights, by the way, that I saw on Reddit's IPO prospectus is that they are looking at ways to insert ads into comment threads. That's where people spend 80, 90% of their time on Reddit. Because on Reddit, you basically have topics that flow into your feed, and then you click in to comment or see what others have commented. And I would say 90% of the value of Reddit, maybe more, maybe it's 95%, is actually in those comments. And they have been entirely ad-free to this point. It's amazing. It's incredible. That's the bulk of their inventory. They haven't really monetized that. Maybe that's a reason why they've never actually turned a profit in their 13 or 15 year history. But they're going to do that. They have to do that because when the IPO, they want the IPO to be a positive one. They want a bump on the share price on day one and day 30 and day 90 and all that stuff. So I think there's real opportunity there for marketers and of course, for Reddit themselves.
Yeah, thank you, John. And we recently deleted a version of a Google document, you know, and where did we go? What do you think? To Reddit, and we of course read these comments, these threads. So yeah, you are 100% right about that. Everyone is reading those comments and spending most time there. So I'm wondering, is Quora the next or not? So far, maybe. Reddit is the leader here, but maybe let's see. Yeah. So thank you so much. And again, we. A little bit touched the AI topic, and the report reveals that Epinia, it's actually the AI focused and mobile engagement platform, if I'm not mistaken, which is growing really fast according to the ROI index report. But my question is not about this platform, but what do you think about AI? I saw that you cover this topic, but what's your personal take on that?
Yeah, I use AI every day. So do you, actually, even when it's invisible to you because it's Google's doing it on your behalf, or Facebook is doing it on your behalf, or somebody else or something like that. Pretty much everybody with a smartphone is using AI every day, whether they know it or not. So I'm definitely interested in AI. Just attended a AGI conference, beneficial AGI, artificial general intelligence, which is when AI becomes as smart or smarter than a human and then goes really, really fast. Attended that conference in Panama City, which was amazing. Sure, I'm a subscriber for ChatGPT. GPT-4, pretty cool. Looking forward to 5. I use Stable Diffusion. It's really neat, especially for some art for my podcast, that sort of thing. I think it is a massive benefit and a massive time saver in some cases, but you cannot just accept what it gives you. And I'm talking about using GPT-4 for data analysis. I used it for some of the ROI index stuff, and I had to double check because it doesn't always understand things in the way that you think it'll understand things. And sometimes it'll make stuff up. So you have to quality control. You have to check and see if it's just inventing stuff. If you do that and you use it well, I think it can be a great aid. And I look forward to be amazing in the future. I mean, look, in terms of ad tech, in terms of marketing, I think the future, especially for big platforms like a Meta, like a Google, like a TikTok, like a Snap or a Reddit, is to use the data they have about us, their users, and what we do and what we're interested in, which is all first-party data to them. And then take the data that advertisers, marketers are coming in with and saying, hey, we want this type of person for this type of experience, for this type of monetization, these types of events, that sort of stuff. And look at those two data sets and do really smart stuff with AI and create on the spot unique ads, generative AI in real time for you, for me, for others that appeal to me because of my history. I think that's a real, real interesting space. I think that's harder for ad networks on the open ecosystem to compete with because they don't have that mass of first-party data. So I think we're heading to some interesting times.
Definitely. You know, we launched an AI report for mobile marketing, and yes, it created ChatGPT. It created prompts for us, it created tables, but like you already said, you need to check just pretty much everything because it makes things up, it invents things, and I think someone can be convinced, but we want to see, you know, the real things, the truth. So it's a great helper, a great assistant, but probably it's just me. I recently noticed that sometimes the results it delivers, they became kind of worse. Probably I'm mistaken, but when it just emerged, this was wow. And like it tried harder. I don't want to make it like a human, but it tried harder. And yes, of this example,
right. You might be right, you might be wrong, but you're not the only one who's had the same feeling. And I don't know, it's an open question whether some of that lack of quality or deteriorating quality is maybe because they're trying to fix the delusions, fix the hallucinations, or they're trying to ensure that it doesn't say things that are controversial or harmful. Or if it's just that we got so used to this, whoa, amazing, and we kind of habituated to it. And now, of course it does magic. Why wouldn't it? It's done magic for me 100 times. And then if it fails to do magic, maybe we're, you know, not so excited. I'm not sure. It's an interesting question.
Yeah, people get used to something very, really quickly. And I liked your example about advertising because personalization is key for now, you know, and it will be for a long time. And taking the like personal user data into account. So yeah, let's see where it all leads the industry and all of us in particular. And apart from AI, do you keep like something on the tip of your tongue? I don't know, are there any exciting new technologies or innovations in the mobile industry in particular? At the forefront for now.
Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff that I'm looking at that I'm excited about, and it's not all developing at the same speed, but here's a few that I'm thinking about. One is multiple app stores. Obviously, that is something that will be the case in the future. It's already the case on Android if you look at it globally, China, India, other places like that, right? But you're going to see it on iOS as well. And Apple is just making that as hard as possible and as slow as possible because, of course, there's a cash cow here and they have some legitimate security concerns. So that's an interesting thing. And we'll see how that evolves. It's going to take some years. It's going to take some legislation. It's going to take some lawsuits. But eventually we will have more ways to get software on these devices, right? So we'll see how that evolves. Second thing that I'm interested in paying attention to right now is multi-platform experiences. And that's a game that's available on multiple platforms. That's an app that its experience is available in multiple places, whether that's mobile and web or maybe CTV or other places like that, console in the case of games, that sort of stuff. That's interesting for a bunch of different reasons. One, if you're providing that service, you want to be where people are, right? That's cool. That's great. I can get it where I want it. I want it on the big screen on the wall. I want it on the small screen on my hand. I want it on my desktop. Wherever I want it, I can have it. That's important. That's good. That's customer service. That's just fulfilling your brand promise wherever you can. The second part of that is payments where you want to take them so that you can avoid paying 30% to Google or to Apple or something like that. So if you're on the open web, you can take payments for subscription or in-app purchases or other things like that. There are in-game purchases, in software purchases, whatever you want to call them. So I think that's why we're seeing a massive expansion in multi-platform experiences. One of the reasons, there's multiple reasons pushing that forward. Third thing, scan and privacy sandbox. I don't know if it's exciting, and it's hard to say how much of an innovation it is. It's a lot of innovation in terms of privacy. It's a lot of challenge in terms of the ecosystem, the ad ecosystem and marketers and what they do. But these are things that are critical. They're affecting the foundation of what user acquisition managers do. And so we need to keep our eyes on them. We need to keep seeing what innovations are happening with them. Privacy Sandbox, obviously out a little bit still, but coming. Scan is here and it's impacting us right now. The transition to 4 is being kind of creaky and the wheels are squealing, right? It's rusty. It's not happening as quickly as we thought it might. And there's a bunch of reasons for that, right? All the big platforms are coming out with their own modeled measurement. And they have incentives to make that the standard, make that the default versus something like Scan that they don't control and might not privilege them, right? So, but eventually we'll get there and maybe we'll get Scan 5 and 6 and 7. We'll see how that goes. And I think the fifth thing would be the one that I've already talked about, which is ads for an audience of one, right? Via generative AI. And I think we'll see that. I think that's possible on platform in your walled garden. I think that's much harder to do on the open web, but it is possible with contextual data as well. Time of day, region, context of the app or the website that somebody's on. So there are some possibilities there, but it's not as powerful. It doesn't have as much history or as much data.
Very insightful, very interesting. Thank you so much, John. And I really loved at your example of Scan 4 for now. I really see it this way either, though. I think most of our audience as well. So thank you so much, John. Very interesting, very exciting. And wrapping up, I have two more questions. I don't know with which one I should start, but probably quickly getting back to the report. It is very insightful and enriched with data. It covers Scan. We talked about it today. But could you probably share, say, I don't like these limitations like top 3, top 5, but a few insights, key insights from the report?
Yeah, cool. First of all, we had 31 ad networks that were ranked. I think that's the most. I haven't checked every single year, but I think that's the most ever. Some were not a surprise. Google and Meta are going to be there. Shocker. TikTok is going to be there, right? So you've got some that are just going to be there. But it is interesting to see that the big are getting bigger in terms of their share of ownership. And that's something that, It wasn't necessarily the case for some of the major players a year and a half or a year ago, right? Meta had a hard time when ATT was introduced, when SCAN came into being. But Meta's figured it out now, and they're growing, and Google is growing. But the good thing is, another insight is there's still room for the small. We've already talked about Moloco. We've talked about EPR. We've talked about a few others. You know, there's still room for the small that have an interesting insight at different perspective that can get in there as a DSP, an exchange, whatever, and do something, provide some value that people aren't seeing elsewhere. So there are still opportunities.
Yeah, I think small and grown businesses is a big niche, and they like have to compete between themselves, and they need to compete with bigger players. So it's quite challenging, you know, but Moloco is a great example. So you can do a breakthrough if you try hard. So being a really notable mobile economist, analyst, you write analytical pieces. So could you probably share a piece of advice with small businesses or growing or who are just starting in the mobile industry? What should they know? What should they pay their attention to succeed, at least not get like closed in the first year, for example?
It's the hardest job in the world. And it's not really a job, it's a lifestyle. And so it's all consuming. I've done it 3 or 4 times. And so I understand something of what those who are building small and growing mobile businesses are going through, right? And so the challenge is what to focus on. There's everything to do. Literally everything needs to be done. What do you focus on? And that kind of, you can look around. You've got to identify the most critical things to work on and work on those. Otherwise, you'll waste your time and you will not go forward. One of those critical things is being relentless in making a great app, not accepting mediocrity, focusing on that product market fit and making sure that it is something that provides real value to someone, to some niche, to some group, right? Once you've done that, and I think that a lot have made that and been there, I think you have to find some method of organic marketing to get a small cohort of early users. Many of these small and growing businesses, you can't spend a lot on marketing. You're paying what you can. Sometimes you have to take a salary yourself. You're paying to some engineers. You're paying to some people. You have a small startup crew. It's hard. Find some method of organic marketing to get that small cohort of early users, because you can't know how your app actually really works until you see people using it, what they use, what they don't use, what they're excited about, what they don't care about. And that thing that you really love that you think is the best thing ever that 99% of users totally ignore. And the thing that you just threw in the app because, I don't know, you know, Sally said, hey, let's do that, is the thing that everybody's using, right? And so that tells you where to pivot and where to adjust and where to make your app. So that's all great. And then once you start getting to the top of your local maximum, the first hill, you're starting to get some usage and traction, maybe even some revenue, right? Prime the pump. Start marketing cautiously. You're probably going to start with something around Meta. You might add a few networks here or there. I think it's really important that you have some amazing creativity in your ads. You've got to find some way of standing out. You've got to not look like every other ad out there. And that's hard, but hey, add some humor, add some fun. Don't take yourself too seriously. Don't take your app too seriously. Sign up for a free MMP account with Singular. That's totally free. Doesn't cost you a thing. Lets you know what's working and what's not working, what organic channels are working, what paid channels are working, what campaigns are getting traction and actually influencing people to take action, right? And then as you scale, you add more networks, you add more channels, you level up your measurements as well. I have often found as a journalist, try a million things. Like I write what I'm interested in. And some things, crickets, nobody cares, nobody notices. But you try a million things and somehow the magic pixie dust of the internet gets sprinkled around and something that you thought, oh, that was a throwaway. I spent like 30 minutes on that. you know, boom, 3 million people read it, right? That sort of thing. And then when you see traction like that, follow. So those are some of my thoughts. And I wish everybody who is in that startup journey, that growing journey, the very best, and a lot of mental health and all that as well, because it is not easy.
Thank you so much, John. Very interesting, very insightful, very relates, I would say so. Because yes, if the product is good itself, an app is great, and it can go viral. And sometimes mobile developers, I think they can spend a month or so like on enhancing a feature or like making a button beautiful in a green color or something, and then users just won't notice that. And you might just launch it as it is, like roll out a new version, and boom, it's like a total blast. And it's, like you mentioned, 3 million. Wonderful. Thank you so much for your really valuable advice, for your advice and tips on organic growth, on creative advertising. I think everyone who is a young entrepreneur, they just should write it down once we launch this App Growth Talks episode. Thank you so much. I've had pleasure talking to you today. You've shared multiple insights based on your own personal expertise, on your hands-on experience, background at Singular and beyond. This is really awesome. And thank you. You highlighted this ROI index report. We'll add a link. Everyone who hasn't seen this just yet, you need to download it. And like you should keep your finger on the pulse. Thank you so much, John. Thank you.
You're very welcome, Lena. It was a real pleasure.
Thank you, and I hope to see you during our next AppGrowth sessions.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Have yourself.